Mark chapter 3 this evening, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 3. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 3. I'm going to read just a few verses as we begin this evening. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 22. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Mark chapter 3. Beginning in verse 22. The Bible says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." Of course, when they're talking about this, they're referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "He hath Beelzebub, he is full of devils." How'd you like to be those fellows that said those words and later on died? And upon death, stood in front of Jesus Christ in heaven at the right hand of the Father, realizing they'd made that kind of an accusation. But here they are saying that, and he called them unto him, verse 23, and said unto them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" All right, if I'm doing this by the power of Satan, and casting out Satan, why in the world would I do that? Verse 24, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." That's going to be our key text this evening. "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." Again, verse number 24 is our key. "If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom," Jesus said, "cannot stand." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Wednesday night, Lord, this opportunity to gather together in the fellowship, Lord, to sing praise to your name. And Lord, we do pray that as we sing and sang this evening, that you were pleased with that which you heard. And Father, may the words not have just come from our mouth, but Lord, may they have come from our heart as we express our worship and our love for you. And now, Father, we need to be fed by the precious Word of God. We need direction. We need guidance in this crazy world that we live in. Father, this vile world, as the Bible describes it, we need your help and your assistance. The devil seeks to divide and to devour. And Lord, we need to hold the fort, as the song said tonight. We need to stand. And so, Lord, I pray you'd give us from your word that which we need this evening. I pray you give me clarity of thought. Father, help me to present that which you've laid upon my heart, God, in such a way that folks will understand it and comprehend it. And that, Father, it might be an encouragement and a blessing to us this evening. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic that I chose for tonight, and it was in the bulletin on Sunday, was critical race theory in biblical perspective. All right, now that's the key, in biblical perspective. Everything that we do and believe as Christians ought to be based on the Word of God. Society has its own values. Christians have different values. And too often we get caught up in what society is caught up in. I'm not going to start naming some of the things like COVID and and gender studies and all those kind of things. But society, it's almost, you know, we talk about, sorry teenagers, but we talk about teenage girls sometimes. We call them a drama queen. And what that means is they make a big deal out of everything. And everything's just, you know, just all-consuming. Well, sometimes, as Christians, we can do the same thing and make too big a deal out of what's going on in the world. So you know me, by coming to church here, I don't often preach on social issues. Because social issues come and go. They rise and fall, and we don't want to spend a lot of time on those. And yet, at the same time, we don't want to be afraid of or back away from social issues when they affect our everyday life. And this evening, we're going to look at what is called critical race theory in light of what the Bible says. Now, in preparation for this, this was a great challenge to me because obviously I did not order a big textbook on critical race theory and read that book to find out what it's all about. I had to read magazines, I had to read research papers, I had to search the internet, I had to look for all these things to find out what it exactly, how to communicate it. Because here's what I've found, and we'll see if you're going to be honest or not. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Now think about the question. How many of you know what critical race theory is? Raise your hand. Not a one. Now, I don't say that to shame you. Because nationally, the statistic is that 78% of Americans don't know what critical race theory is. And yet, it is very prominent right now. You can't watch the news without hearing them talk about it. And yet, nobody really defines it. You can't watch what's going on across our country without seeing results of this theory that are being played out in front of our eyes, that are being disconnected from the theory itself, lest it cast a negative light upon it. This theory is now being introduced into the public school system. It has been in law schools for a couple of decades because it's something they have had to consider, but now it's being brought down to the high school, junior high, even elementary levels to put this in. And it's become a very divisive issue. School board meetings have blown up over this thing. Legislatures are blowing up over this thing. So it's a very real and a very present thing right now. And so what I want to do tonight is explain to you what it is best as I can. Explain to you what it is so you make it aware of it, because it is affecting, if not your life, it's affecting society around you. It's affecting family members, maybe children or grandchildren. And so I want to look at it, first of all, giving the information, trying to identify what it is, which is not my strong suit. All right, Bible is my strong suit. I'll admit that right off the bat. But I am pretty good at research and looking things up. And so on the basis of that, I want to present critical race theory in biblical perspective. First of all, I've got five things tonight, and let's see if we can get through all five of them in the next 3 hours. We'll see if we can do that. I'm kidding about the 3 hours, of course. Number one, the facts. The facts. What is critical race theory? Well, it is hard to put a definite definition down. And here's why. Those that are promoters of critical race theory, and I might start saying CRT just to save all the words there, but those that are promoters of it have their definition of it. And it's very scholarly and academic, and those words will come into it. Those that are critics of it will have a much different description and vocabulary of it. So as I was looking at how do I communicate to you, those of you that didn't raise your hand, which was every single one of us, and said, I don't know what it is, how do I define it for you? Here's one definition from this group, another definition from that group. And so I tried to find the middle of the road people. All right, instead of going to the New York Times, the New York Post and Hillsdale, or instead of going to CNN, NBC, all the other ones, I tried to find a neutral position as I could, and I found it, I think, in Encyclopedia Britannica. That sounds neutral, doesn't it? An encyclopedia. And so here's the definition, and again, this is still going to be pretty long, but here's the definition of CRT according to what I think is a middle-of-the-road estimate of it. And again, that's a judgment call. But here's what they said. CRT is an intellectual movement and a framework of legal analysis according to which, number one, race is a culturally invented category used to oppress people of color. And number two, the law and legal institutions in the United States are inherently racist, and they function to create and maintain social, political, and economic equalities between white and non-white people. Again, a pretty long definition. But basically, it is telling us, the facts are telling us, that this is something that seeks to divide us. Can we be that simple on it? It's something that seeks to divide us. All right, that's the fact. It wants to change the laws. It doesn't accept today's educational system, the banking system, the political system, the economic system, the housing system. According to CRT, all these things are inherently designed to oppress. And it divides all of America into two groups, the oppressed and the oppressor. Those are the only two groups, the oppressor and the oppressed. And they define those two classes by the color of our skin. If you have a certain color skin, you're an oppressor. If you have a certain color skin, you're the oppressed. And there is no middle road. It's you're one or the other, and it doesn't matter how personally you feel or how personally you express yourself. You are inherently racist if you're one color. You're inherently oppressed if you're another color. And this is just the system that's going to be, that needs to be overturned and, as we're going to see in just a minute, completely reversed. Its purpose is to dismantle our modern society, our rules, our regulations, our laws. We saw this with the autonomous zones, the Capitol Hill autonomous zone in Seattle, the autonomous zone in Atlanta, where they went in and cordoned off a few city blocks and said, "This is a new nation. This is a new government. We want no police presence in here, and we want no rules or regulations or anything like that." It's all geared to divide us by the color of our skin. And I'm emphasizing that because when we get to what the Bible says about this, the color of the skin is the issue. And I want you to see what God says about the color of our skin when we get to the Word of God. Because it will be completely contradictory to everything that humanism teaches. Humanism is a human philosophy on any subject or topic. And what we're talking about tonight is a human view of things. It's not a divine view. It's a human view. And so this is one of those things that Jesus said, if a house be divided against itself, somehow, can I use that word? Somehow Jesus knew that within a nation there would be those that would seek to divide it. The only way to destroy a nation is from within. In 1941, we were attacked from without. You know how that worked out, don't you? In 2011, 40 years later, 60 years later, excuse me, 60 years later, 2001, let me get my dates right, 2001, December 11th, we were attacked from without. When the Twin Towers went down and those folks did what they did with those hijacked airplanes. And you know how we reacted as a nation to that. Those attacks unified us. The attacks from the outside strengthen us. But Jesus said, when the attacks come from the inside, it will divide a nation. And how can that kingdom, how can that nation, how can it stand when it's divided from within? The common expression in military jargon is simply this, divide and conquer. If you can divide people, you can conquer them. Whereas the Bible all talks about unity and one. Go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. I know you'll know the verse. But look back at what Genesis says about this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. Something you've never read before, right? Genesis 1, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over all creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Here we have the origin, the beginning of the human race. Adam and Eve. Could I ask a rhetorical question, if that's what it is? What color were Adam and Eve? I read an article in doing this research, and I don't know who it was, said they were white platinum blonde. Somebody ate too much pizza last night before they went to bed. What color were Adam and Eve? You know what I can definitely say without any fear that I'm being wrong or contradicting myself, I can say this. What color were Adam and Eve? We don't know. I can definitely say that 100%. We don't know. That was 6,000 years ago. Nobody was there to record it. God did not choose to tell us. Now we can guess. And if I were to guess, I mean they were made out of the dirt of the ground. That's kind of a brownish color. And so we would kind of guess that that would be that. But God did not see fit to specify the color of their skin. You know why? Because it doesn't matter to God. It's not an issue to God. It's an issue to mankind. And that's where we get the contradiction, and that's where we get the division. When man emphasizes what God does not emphasize, and then de-emphasizes what God does emphasize, that's when we run into trouble. And all of this that's going on, personally, I believe with this CRT is a desire to divide. They want to dismantle our economic system, capitalism. Dismantle our political system. And they have a term for it, and it escapes my mind right now. Dismantle our educational system. I don't know if you read this, but just yesterday in the state of Oregon, the governor of the state of Oregon signed into law a bill that says that high school graduates no longer have to be proficient in reading, writing, or simple math. It was already approved by their state Congress, and the governor signed it into law. They do not have to be proficient to graduate in reading, writing, or basic math. And the governor said this, because those things, those requirements are discriminatory against people of color. And so the education is changed. The banking systems to be changed, everything. And if you really, if you read into this and check into this and research this, you'll find out that's the mentality, to change the structure of everything and restructure it in a different manner. And that's where the problem, that's where we run into the problem. Tearing down the existing system and building another system. Could you imagine what destruction that would cause in the process of doing that? But the problem is that if you don't go along with this idea and this system, then you are racist. And that is a word that is so used and abused and overused in our society today. That anybody... In fact, can I tell you this? If somebody that is pro-CRT and hardcore pro-CRT were to hear what I'm saying, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter how logical I try to be, how rational I need to be, how reasonable I try to be, how biblical I try to be. It wouldn't matter. I am a non-voice because of the color of my skin. I am racist by birth, according to CRT, and I can't do anything about it. Now, I'm worse than that. I'm also male and heterosexual and Christian. And in the system of measuring things, that puts me out in left field. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. How reasonable, how intelligent, how well-spoken. None of those things really matter. It wouldn't matter that I was a missionary to people of color for 10 years. It wouldn't matter that my wife and I have adopted and fostered children of color. None of that would matter. The skin of my color overrules everything and makes me a non-entity. They call it today whiteness, or I'm sure you've heard this phrase, white privilege. All of that extinguishes our voice, and we can't have a voice on anything. All these things are coming into play. We see it. I'll throw a name out to you and you see if you remember it or recognize it. Colin Kaepernick. All right, those of you that know who that is and what that name means. He was discriminated against because of his color, the color of his skin. That's the theory. He was discriminated. For those of you that don't know, he was a professional football player that won a Super Bowl, but ended up going off the trade block and hasn't been back in football for several years. And many claim that the reason is because he's been cast out because of the color of his skin. Now, here's something a little closer to right now. As you know, I'm a big Jeopardy fan. I love to watch Jeopardy when I can at 7 o'clock in the evening. And right now they got a fella on there that's won. In fact, I don't know. I should be home watching him right now, really. But he's won 14 or 15 days in a row. And he's still going. I hope he won tonight. It's already over this evening. But when I can, I sit down and watch it. And as you probably know, Alex Trebek, the guest, the host of Jeopardy for decades, passed away. And they're looking for a replacement for him. And they've tried many different people to candidate for taking Alex Trebek's place. And it seems like, and this is the scuttlebutt, that's Marine Corps talk, This is the gossip that's out there. And that is that they've chosen someone already to be his replacement. And that man is Mike Richards, who is the executive producer of Jeopardy. And who is also the producer of The Price is Right and all kind of, he's done 4,000 others. So it seems that he's the front one. And the minute they said that, a howl and a scream has gone up all across America. Because he's a white male. That should immediately disqualify him from the position. Whether you're Colin Kaepernick or whether you're Mike Richards, it's not based on merit. It's not based on productivity. It's based on perception. It's based on skin color. And nobody should be judged or determined by the color of their skin. And so we have this thing that's the facts of it. And it is divisive. Point number two. The first point, the facts, it's divisive. Point number two, the foundation. And I would say it's deliberate. All right? Number one, the facts, it's divisive. Number two, the foundation, it's deliberate. This is not new. Critical race theory is not a new thing. It was developed, and it depends, again, there are some that say it developed in the 90s. Some went back to the 80s. Those which seem to be in tune to it the most attribute it to the late 70s. That this is a theory, critical race theory, a theory that has developed since the 1970s. That all the structure of America is predominantly, inherently racist, and so that's why it favors the oppressor over the oppressed. That's the foundation of it. The desire to dismantle the current system and to replace it with a system favorable to people of color and reverse the whole discrimination thing. In fact, can I give you a quote from, and I'm not sure I'm saying the guy's name right, but Ibram Kendi is one of the leading voices for critical race theory. And here's what Ibram Kendi says. The only remedy to racist discrimination is anti-racist discrimination. The only remedy to put discrimination, the only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination. Now, if you're not catching exactly what he's saying, because the wording is kind of tricky in there, he's simply saying this. We have had discrimination in the past. The oppressed over the oppressor. We need to have discrimination now, but it needs to be the oppressor over the oppressed. And that discrimination should carry on to the future. We want to turn everything upside down, everything on its ear, change everything that is, and change the whole equation based on the color of people's skin. Many have referred to this as nothing more than a color-based Marxism. If you're familiar with history and Marxism, you know what it is. It's eliminating the middle class. Marxism, it's not like communism, making everybody level. But it's a strict divide of two different people and eliminating those that aren't in that intended divide. That's what Marxism is all about. And the sad thing is, and this will ring a bell for you, our educational system has been deleting inappropriate history, and that's their phrase, inappropriate history for many, many years now. If we don't like what history teaches, then we throw that history out, so everything we have is what we want it to say. That's what's in the history books in the educational system today. It's not a matter of the school, it's not a matter of the teacher, it's a matter of the curriculum. The curriculum has been changed so that history has been altered to only present that which fits into the program. There's something called the 1619 Project, if you're familiar with that. And that's been in schools, that's been around for a little bit longer, only a couple more years, but that's been implemented in many schools too, and it all fits this same framework of trying to tear down our society's structure and rebuild it. Jesus said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So there is the facts, it's divisive. The foundation, it's deliberate. Then number three, let's talk about the fruit. And the Bible does say, by their fruits ye shall know them. What is the fruit of critical race theory? Now again, it is something new, at least they claim it is, but it has its roots in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So it's not really new. Those that are in favor of it try to put a disconnect between CRT and these things that I'm going to mention right now. They try to say they're not related because critical race theory is fairly new. But the fruit of it has shown itself on our television screens and in our society for some time right now. As I said, this fellow that is a leading proponent of it said we need to reverse the system. We need to tear down what is in existence and build something new. Does that sound like something you've seen on TV? Maybe in Minneapolis or Portland or Seattle or Atlanta? You know what's going on? The carrying out of this theory. And it's interesting to know that they call it a theory. Critical race theory. That means they're proposing something that's not scientifically backed up. It's a theory. It's just like evolution was, the theory of evolution. There's no scientific backing to it. There's no scientific backing to this. But people are reacting to it and buying into it. And it's causing division in our country and in our way of life. Now here we are in Bysville, Ohio. We're not in Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati. We're not in Los Angeles, Detroit, my hometown, New York City. We're not in Atlanta. We're not in Boston. We're in a rural setting. And many folks would say, well, I'm going to just be an ostrich and bury my head in the sand because it's not going to affect me. It is. It is going to affect you if it continues. Now again, my hesitation at preaching or talking about something like this, again, because it's a social issue, and so many times, social issues, what were the social issues 5 years ago? You'd probably have to go Google 2016 to remember what the social issues were, because they've dissipated, they've gone away. This might, Lord willing, this whole divide might go away too. But as for right now, it's going to affect us because it's being introduced into school systems. It's being introduced. The Southern Baptist Seminary. Southern Baptist Seminary is teaching critical race theory. The president of the Southern Baptist Convention said, I apologize for being racist. Now, he's not by our definition racist, but by CRT definition, because of the color of his skin, he is racist. How many times did you hear that said about Donald Trump? And how many times did you see the pictures of him before his presidency intermingling and befriending and helping all kinds of people of color? It doesn't matter. The color of your skin defines you. And that's the saddest thing about this whole thing. That we can't be united because the color of our skin is going to divide us. I teach in a Bible college. 90% of those students are kids of color. I love them. I have a great time. I have more fun with them than I do with some of you sometimes. Got to be careful in saying that, don't I? I love those kids. They come up here. They visit our church often. They come in here. What a sad thing is if we had a divide because the pigment of our skin is different. The melanin, that small amount of what makes us different. We're all made in the image of God. We're all made in the likeness of Adam. The Bible says in Acts 17, look at Acts 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Here's what God says about this whole thing. Acts 17, verse 26. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. He has made of one blood. You know what? We teach our kids, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. You know what red, yellow, black, and white people have in common? The same color blood. The same ancestor, Adam. We all go back to the same. It was Rodney King that famously said this, can't we all just get along? It's the facts are it's divisive, the foundation is it's deliberate, the fruit is it's destructive. It tears things down. It sows discord. Do black lives matter? Absolutely. Do blue lives matter? Sure. When we decide to elevate or promote one in exclusion of the other, that's racism. And so the destructive nature of this whole thing is where that's going. Now, let me get to point number four, because we want to spend most of our time in point number five. Point number four, the foes. All right? I've said the facts, it's divisive. The foundation, it's deliberate. The fruit, it's destructive. The foes, and let me put it this way, they're determined. They're determined. To say that this theory is controversial is an understatement. Because if you Google it, you will come up with more articles than you can read in a day's time. Because they're out there. Now again, isn't that amazing that they're out there, but 78% of Americans don't know what it is. I guess that's a blessing. It shows how much attention we give to the news media. We're not paying attention. But they are pushing agendas, not just this one, but every agenda they push. People just kind of swallow it without even realizing what they're talking about. That's a scary thing. But the foes of this is simply this. When this theory became popular a couple of years ago and they tried to institute it in the school system, then President Donald Trump put a ban on it. He said critical race theory is not to be taught in the public education system. When President Biden became the president, one of the first things he did was sign an executive order promoting the teaching of critical race theory in the public school system. I say that simply to this. See, it's divisive. Half America kind of is for it, half America is against it, if we go by just those two faces or those two names right there. But it's more than that. You probably, again, if you Google this, you will find all these local school board meetings where people are getting up on both sides of the issue. And yelling and screaming and turning red in the face. I mean, parents that have PTA meetings, parents that have gotten along for so long, all of a sudden have another issue that's thrown at them, that's dividing them. I heard one today, and this is kind of a side note, it doesn't have to do with this, but a board member of a school, I wish I could remember the city and town, but they played it on the radio today. This woman got up and said about the mask issue, and again, I had a preacher said recently, he was preaching to a bunch of preachers, and he said, I know you guys are tired of talking about the mask and the COVID in church, because you talk about it all the time. And I thought, no, we don't. We don't talk about it at all. We that's one of those social issues we've kind of just let blow by and not get all worked up about it. But this lady was at a school board meeting, The governor of the state, whichever it was, said schools will start up again in September or late August, whatever, and there will be no mask mandate. Whatever the state was, the governor said, you do not have to wear masks, the kids don't have to wear masks to school. And this lady got up in the board meeting, apparently she's on the school board, and she said, if you allow your child to go to school with another child, and your child isn't wearing a mask, and that child dies, your child has committed murder and should be tried for murder. Divisive, unreasonable, just insane. That's the world we live in right now. We don't need divisive issues. We need to be the United States of America. But right now, we've got 28 states that have not spoken out or said anything about CRT. Whether they're implementing it or not is not clear. But 28 states are doing nothing. 22 states have said, have legislation before their Congresses that they're going to ban CRT. So it's dividing the educational system of our nation. It's dividing people. And really, that's the goal. Divide and conquer. The foes of it. Five of those states so far have passed their legislation to keep critical race theory out of the educational system. Ohio is one of those states that has legislation pending, but it's not been voted on yet. But there are foes just as there are friends to critical race theory. Then number five, thank God, the failure of critical race theory. And that's simply this: it differs from Scripture. Now again, here is where I can stand without any hesitation and without any doubt. On social issues, on those things, I've got to do my research and find that out. And it's not that I don't on spiritual, but when it all comes down to it, it's simply this: what does the Bible say? As Christians, now I know the world doesn't care what the Bible says. They're gonna take this, the social issue and their opinions and their views and all that, and they could care less what the Bible says about it. In fact, most of them, and I've talked to some, are antagonistic toward the Bible, so they really don't care. It's written by a bunch of old white men. Number one, no, it isn't. It's written by a bunch of Middle Eastern men of color. They're all Middle Eastern brown men, if we can put it that way. But the author of the Word of God is a colorless, amazing Heavenly Father. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God that gave the Word. So we take everything we're looking at and we weigh it in light of the Bible. Does the Bible contradict it? Does the Bible confirm it? We start with the foundation of the Bible. We don't start with the theory and then go to the Bible. We start with the Bible, then go to the theory. All right, the whole theory we've looked at right here is this: everyone is defined by the color of their skin. In everything I've read and everything I research, it's white, black, brown. People of color. In the Bible, can I tell you this? The color white is never used in reference to any people. The color black is never used in reference to a race or group of people. In fact, the word race, the only time the word race is used in the Bible, you might remember because I preached on it 2 weeks ago, that Paul has called us to run the race. And I think six times the word race is used in the Bible, and it's all a reference to running a race, that kind of race. Race is never used in reference to people groups, to skin color, to anything in the Word of God. It is a non-issue to God, and should be a non-issue to us. If we judge someone by the color of their skin, it's our fault. It's our problem. We've done wrong. Equality is not the issue. Equity is the issue. And you'll see this in the CRT paraphernalia. The word equity will come up again and again. And equity is simply this: reversing the system. Making the oppressed now the oppressor. Making the oppressor now the oppressed. That we are racist by the basis of our skin color, regardless of anything else. Let's reverse the system. That's what this is all about. You know what God says? If a nation be divided against itself, it cannot stand. You know what the Bible does describe people? You know how the Bible describes you? You know how the Bible describes us? Not by the color of our skin, but by our nationality. Now think about that for just a moment. God describes people in the Bible. Every description is by their nationality. The Bible refers two times back in the book of Jeremiah. There's a man who helped the prophet get out of the pit that he'd been put into for preaching the Word of God. You remember the story? He'd been preaching that Babylon was going to come and destroy Israel. They didn't like that, so they threw him down in the pit. And a man called an Ethiopian came and put a rope down there and pulled him out of the pit. Over in Acts chapter 8, Philip, the evangelist, is called away from the revival in Samaria, led out into a desert where there is a man that's traveling from Jerusalem back to his home country. And he's reading a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, but he doesn't understand it. And he needs someone to help him, give him clarity. And Philip goes and joins himself to that man. And he's described as an Ethiopian. Now we can assume the color of his skin by that word, but that's an assumption. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a man who's called an Italian. His name is Cornelius. In Acts chapter 9, we read about a man who is a Middle Easterner. His name is Saul. He's identified by the place of his location, Tarsus. In the Old Testament, we read about a queen that comes to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She's the queen of Sheba. Everybody in the Bible is identified by their nationality, not by the color of their skin. You know why I like that? Because that's what America is. Did you watch the Olympics? I saw very, very little. I did, just didn't have time. But I saw enough of this. I saw the gymnastics team. And I saw some girls win some gold medals. And they were black. You know what I did when I saw them win those medals? I shouted. You know why? They're from America. They're on the American team. I cheer for the Americans. You know, the golf tournament, the guy that came in said, the winner was a gold medalist. The gold medalist was an American, by the way, but the second place American, he didn't medal. But his name was Colin Morikawa. Now, you can guess by his last name where his country of origin is. But you know what? You know where he was born? In the United States of America. When you see him on the golf course, if you didn't know, you might think he's from Japan. But he's not. He's an American-born citizen, speaks fluent English, no Japanese accent. And when he did good in the Olympics, it's not that I'm cheering against the other nations, it's not that so much, but I enjoy seeing the Americans win. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what state they came from. Now that's a tough one sometimes. But it's not by the color of their skin. That's God's system. You don't judge people. You don't set anything up by the color of somebody's skin. You know, the Apostle Peter was a pretty good guy. I think we would commend him for most of what he did. And I know he messed up a couple of times. And one of those possible mess-ups, almost mess-ups, was that whole story about Cornelius the Italian. When the Lord wanted Peter to go witness to that Italian, and Peter said, No, Lord. I'm a Jew. We have nothing to do with the Gentiles. You say that's racial discrimination. Well, it kind of was, but it was more religious discrimination than it was anything. Peter was a Jew. The Jews in the Old Testament, they were worshiping the right God. All the Gentiles were worshiping idols of stone and rock and worshiping false gods and Baal and everything else. And Israel said, we are the people of God. They didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. And the Lord had to come to Peter three times, give him that vision and say, hey, what I have called clean, that don't you call common. God has eliminated, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, God has wiped out the barrier between us. There is, we're Jew and Gentile. Look at Revelation. And I hope I can find the verse because I didn't write it down. It's three times in Revelation. Let's try chapter 5 first. We'll close with this. Okay, no, it's the end of chapter 4, I believe. I get myself in trouble when I do this, don't I? Let's go to 17, because I'm not finding it there. I hope I'll find it in 17. I might mess up there too. Oh, preacher, why'd you do that? The verses I'm looking for, and it's three times in the book of Revelation, is the saints around the throne of God. And they're from every tribe, and every tongue, and every nation. Every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation. And the thing I want to emphasize in that is in those three times, and I'll let you find them on your own, in those three times where the Bible says that, it never once mentions the color of anybody's skin because it doesn't matter to God. Making race an issue is a divisive thing. Teaching our children to make race an issue is a divisive thing. Do we have improvements to make, humanly speaking, in our society? Absolutely. No reasonable person can deny that. But do we take it to the extent of overthrowing everything that is and replacing it with something new, turning the world upside down? And I have to admit this, as I read and study this stuff, if this was successful, just like Marxism, just like communism when it took over, you know what the first enemies of those theories was? Christianity. And if they turn over this whole system, one of the things that's going to be out is Christianity. That's how divisive the whole thing is. Jesus said, a nation divided against itself cannot stand. You and I need to pray that this issue will pass. That this social trend will accomplish nothing. The problem that happens in our society is when something is taught or around for 10 years or so, it then becomes fact, regardless of what it is. The old expression is, if you tell a lie long enough, everybody will believe it. And we need to pray that this system of thought, this theory of divisiveness based on the color of our skin, will fall by the wayside, that the gospel would prevail, that the Word of God would be proclaimed, that folks would get saved, and then one day we all get to heaven with a glorified body. What color is that? I have no idea. Because God doesn't care about the color of our skin. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.